Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a Wall Street insider who was a former managing director at Goldman Sachs to get a reading on how Wall Streeters are reacting to the Occupy Wall Street demonstrations. Nomi Prince joins us to explain how the demonstrators on the street have little to no effect on those inside the tall buildings, 62% of whom are expecting higher bonuses this year, while much of the rest of working America is being downsized or terminated. Then we'll go to Cairo, Egypt, to find out who is behind the violent assault on Coptic Christian demonstrators that left 25 dead and more than 270 wounded. A former Middle East correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, Yasmin El Rashidi, joins us to explain what happened and why, as the Copts, who make up over 10% of the Egyptian population, feel more and more helpless and threatened by Islamists and the army, who instead of protecting them from sectarian violence, have mowed them down and run over them with tanks. Then finally, we will hear from Steve Clemens, the Washington editor-at-large for The Atlantic, who organized a forum last week in Washington that featured top Obama administration officials Joe Biden, Bill Daley, Valerie Jarrett, and Tim Geithner, etc., along with the likes of Antonin Scalia, Marco Rubio, and Dick Cheney. We'll find out what transpired and what was learned from this conclave of Beltway titans. Joining us now is Nomi Prince, an author, journalist, and senior fellow at the Demos think tank. Her books include Other People's Money, The Corporate Mugging of America, and It Takes a Pillage, Behind the Bonuses, Bailouts, and Backroom Deals from Washington to Wall Street. Her new book, a historical novel, is Black Tuesday. Before becoming an author and journalist, she worked on Wall Street as a managing director at Goldman Sachs and ran the International Analytics Group at Bear Stearns in London. Welcome to Background Briefing, Nomi Prince.
Thanks so much, Ian.
And we're talking on a day where we learn that in a recent poll by eFinancialCareers.com found that 62% of those working on Wall Street said they're expecting a bonus that's in line with last year's or higher. And that, I would think, in contrast to what's happening with the rest of working America, would at the very least indicate that they're doing well and the rest of the country's not. Do you think in any way people on Wall Street recognize the difference between what's happening on Wall Street in terms of financial success and what's happening in the rest of America?
You know, if certain people recognize it, and of course there are thousands that work there, but for the most part, and certainly when I work there and what I'm hearing from the inside, what I'm seeing watching it as a civilian, and as someone who supports the protests, I think that they don't really think about what's happening on the outside. There's a real emphasis on, you know, day-to-day business and on, you know, who did what trade and which trade is going to get seen by whose boss and who's going to get how much bonus out of that and so forth. That a lot of what happens inside those walls is very, very immediate and related to how much money can you take out of any particular transaction. So given that, you know, what's happening on the outside is something that doesn't really impact how they go about thinking about those transactions and how much money and how much a bonus they're going to get at the end of the year because of that. Now, of course, there are people with consciences and there are people with less of them, and so this doesn't mean that every single person thinks exactly the same way, but predominantly when you're on the inside, you're concerned about the money you're going to make, how you're going to make, and who's going to know you made it, and that's really what's driving you every day. And so what's going on now is, of course, you know, some people are coming into work, into the offices of Wall Street. You know, they're hearing about the protests. They know they're going on. They're not necessarily living in a tomb. But that said, a lot of the, you know, the walls that sort of keep the bankers, the traders, the salespeople, the executives and the management committees and so forth, apart from what's going on outside, still exist.
So have you any indications of what the attitudes are then to the people that are demonstrating? I mean, how much do they get in their face? How much do they have to sort of cross the picket line, so as to speak?
Well, yeah, for the most part, and you know, if you think about the executives, and this is not new to these this current round of protesting, which, again, it's on the news. It is being made heard, but these people, the main executives, don't exactly take the subways to get into work. You know, they have these like black Lincoln Town cars, they go to side streets, they go in. They're not really having to physically, geographically cross a lot of these lines. Now people who aren't at the top, who don't necessarily have the cars, who sort of lower down the pecking order of these firms, might have to. But the way in which, in New York anyway, geographically, it's been laid out is that many senior people can get to work without having anything, or very little to physically, do in it with the protesters, which I think can change as that number grows, as there are more protesters on the streets, as they spill over into a larger area, of course that changes. But there's always been this way of segmenting oneself as an executive at lots of these firms from anyone on the outside, you know, and whether it's by not taking a subway or not taking, you know, a bus, or you know, living in a very, very large compound in the Hamptons. There's ways that they really keep themselves, you know, physically separate from everyone else. I mean, not just protesters, but, you know, people sort of in general, in their day-to-day going in and out of work sometimes.
Again, I'm speaking with Naomi Prince, author, journalist, a senior fellow at the Demos think tank. She worked on Wall Street as a managing director at Goldman Sachs and ran the international analytics group at Bear Stearns in London. So then, what would affect these people in the sense that they're doing well and the taxpayer made them whole and the average American now feels that they're getting squeezed and there's the call of the 99% at the 1%, you know, is that going across the country and these people are the 1%? I noticed that just shortly after the 2008 crash, there were some people who showed up at the homes of some of these hedge funds managers in Greenwich and other places like that, and that seemed to be effective. Here in Los Angeles, we had a weekend or so ago in Bel Air, a group of protesters showed up at the home of the head of One West Bank, who had evicted a family because they were 1 month late on their mortgage payment. So do you think that is a more effective way, or do you think that these people, do they have a sense that they've gotten off incredibly well? None of them have gone to jail. A lot of these protesters have gone to jail.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that protesters are being hauled off for protesting, for exercising their democratic voice, their right to free speech and everything else, while a lot of the individuals who were involved in very fraudulent activities that exploited and extracted and stole from the rest of the country in many ways and in different ways is really appalling. And I do think that, you know, showing up in front of homes of some of the executives who really make the decisions, who really are the ones who decide which types of transactions are going to get done, how they're going to get done, who hand wave any potential red flags that might even, you know, look like they're negative for people from the transactions that they do. I think that's an effective way of getting in their faces. Definitely, it's a more physical way of getting in their faces. In terms of them, you know, someone who, you know, Lloyd Blankfein or someone who runs Goldman Sachs or something like that, actually being afraid, I think in terms of how his bonus could be impacted, how the shares of the firm could be impacted, which also impacts his bonuses and the bonuses of other people in management, I think there still remains a long road to hoe. And I think that what's going on now is encouraging that more people of different walks of life are banding together, and they have similar grievances, and also they come for different reasons to band together, and I think that's positive, but I think it needs to be a lot bigger because it needs to change the way in which Wall Street does business, and that can only really be done from a regulatory or a legislative perspective, and we have a long way to go with that, because in the wake of the crisis of 2008, which we're still living in the aftermath of, there's been very little done in Washington to rectify the situation, to, you know, help people stay in their homes, to reduce the foreclosure claims, to enforce banks using the money and the subsidies they receive from the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department to help people on the ground. None of that's really been done. So there's a lot of work to have happen. But I think that if this movement becomes larger in number, it's another way of exercising that democratic voice, which voting hasn't necessarily done yet.
Well, I suppose just in...
I shouldn't even say necessarily. There's no qualifier. It hasn't done yet.
Well, just in closing, though, Naomi Prince, what about at least getting them to pay more taxes? Will that get their attention?
I think that would get their attention. And, again, that's another demand that needs to be stipulated. But they have a lot of money behind their lobbying and their efforts to not be taxed or to have their stuff offshore and to not be taxed in other manners. So again, a lot of things can be done. And a lot of things could actually impact them, but they need to happen.
I see. So just in closing again, though, Naomi Prince, do you think that at the end of the day, this movement is going to affect these people? They may have disdain for them now, and the media, like Fox, have done everything they can to dismiss it. But it's possible that the 99% of this country might join that movement.
I think the effect of the movement will have to do with it growing and with it encouraging other people to join for their various different reasons, and then knowing it's okay regardless of how the media is portraying it as some fringe group of people. It isn't. There are real ways in which many millions of people in this country have been impacted by bad practices and by bad businesses and by poor structure in the banking system, and there's a definite connect to that. And I think that the more attention is drawn to the fact that the impact of those practices and that structure is so negative on all of us, the more we can work together to force some sort of a actual lasting change, which to date has not been what we've received from Washington.
I thank you so much for joining us here today, Naomi Prince.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Naomi Prince, author, journalist, and senior fellow at the Demos Think Tank. Her books include Other People's Money, The Corporate Mugging of America, and It Takes a Pillage, Behind the Bonuses, Bailouts, and Backroom Deals from Washington to Wall Street. Her new book is a historical novel, Black Tuesday. Before becoming an author and journalist, she worked on Wall Street as a managing director at Goldman Sachs and ran the International Analytics Group at Bear Stearns in London. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back and go to Cairo, Egypt.